Welcome to Vacant Expressions, 1 hour of your life you will not get back. We are your hosts, John and Wes Fox, and today we got a couple news items. Of course, we're going to talk about the Event Horizon images that came out. We took a week off, so that's about, I think that press conference was a week ago. So, you know, we take a week off and all sorts of shit starts happening. We have a new We have a Star Wars trailer, Game of Thrones, first episode of the final season premiered Sunday. We have, you know, the tragedy in Paris with the Notre Dame Cathedral. We have the discovery of a new hominid species and all this, and it's just all sorts of crazy shit. I don't think we're going to get to all of it in this one, but we definitely are not short on things to bullshit about. So that is how today is going to go, or this recording is going to go. And, of course, as usual, we're going to start with what are we drinking. So, John, how is life over there in the mountains, and what are you drinking?
Life's pretty good over here. It's starting to feel like spring again a little bit. It's been a gorgeous day. And but the good stuff, I am drinking this Malbec. It's from Argentina, Don Rodolfo, and it's the Art of the Andes. And it's pretty delicious. Malbec's one of my favorites. Definitely varying quality, but this is a pretty good one just around the corner at the local store. So, I don't know, it's just a nice middle-of-the-road wine. It's really tasty. I like dry reds, but Malbecs aren't too dry, so you could have them with, like, lighter foods, chickens and fish if you want. But yeah, it's pretty delicious. I definitely recommend Malbecs. They're usually from Argentina and Chile. Is that right?
The ones I've tried have all been either Argentina, and I think I might have had one from Australia or New Zealand, but the ones I've had recently have all been Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I had just recently, which is really good, was Alamos Malbec from also, I think, Mendoza region of Argentina. And I still have not really sampled enough Malbecs to really know if it's my grape or not. But it's that one in particular, Alamos, was a pretty good one. It's actually, and I think it's pretty widely distributed. I think it's like a mass production Malbec. But it's really good. It gets the job done. And but what I'm drinking tonight, tonight, it's still sunny over here, so it's hard for me to say tonight, even though it is basically the evening. I have a Rioja from the winery of Campo Viejo. This is one of my favorite wines in the world. It's I love Rioja in general. Like, it's from the northern mountains of Spain. It is, to me, like one of the, probably, if it's not my favorite region, it's like tied with, you know, with one of the California regions, or maybe of the Willamette Valley of Oregon for Pinot Noirs. But this is an excellent wine. It's slightly on the dry side. It's a little bit more intense, a little bit more bold. Riojas generally are a little bit on the bold side, but this thing is just so well balanced. It can go, I mean, you can drink this with anything. You can drink it by itself. It's just, for me, like for my palate, it's like almost dead on what I would want out of a wine. So, and it's only like 18, depending on where you're getting it, anywhere from like 17, 18 to 22 bucks. And it's just, and this is the Reserva too. They have, there's just the standard Tempranillo Rioja, then they have the Reserva, and then the Gran Reserva, which is like 28, 30 bucks. This is just Reserva. It's fucking fantastic. And, it's been what I've been drinking the last two or three nights. The bottle is almost depleted, unfortunately. So, and I've also, you know, moved on to Chilean and Argentine wine. So actually I might have to bug you about some of your, some of those Malbecs from Argentina you've been trying out and see, try myself.
Absolutely. I have some recommendations for you then, I guess.
Yeah.
So let's jump into a lot of stories that we have. First of all, when we last spoke, we spent most of the time talking about the image of the black hole. Everybody already knows about it now, so we don't really have to explain it that much. The image is out. It's amazing. It's amazing that it's been done before. Looks like we were a little bit wrong. They didn't end up actually taking a picture of the black hole in the middle of the Milky Way. They did one that was, 50,000 light years away?
Yeah, that's what I was confused about. And they said it was, I think it's called M87. And I think they're going to give it a more, non-numerical name soon. But yeah, I read on the website that one of the ones they were studying, or the star they were studying was, or the black hole was Sagittarius A star. So when they said M87 in the press conference, I was like confused. I'm like, wait, then why the hell? Why are you talking about Sagittarius on your website? So I don't. Maybe they are. They just haven't released those images yet. The first images they had were of a different star, because I know they're studying more than one black hole. I guess that might be what it is. I don't know.
Maybe that's what's going on. And I mean, when they initially said they were doing the black hole at the center of our Milky Way, part of me was all like, well, it's the closest one. Maybe it's the easiest. But we have a lot of trouble, like, even picturing the Milky Way accurately. We think it's a spiral galaxy, but it could really be a couple other things. We have to honestly be outside of our galaxy to know what it looks like. We're just making a bunch of guesses, and there could be all different types of different light and radiation pollution just by us being in the middle of the galaxy. So I'm guessing that's what has something to do with the fact that we've not seen our black hole. Maybe we're not going to get as good of an image. Maybe it's a lot harder, and this one was just easier to zero in on because realistically, they're extremely small compared to their galaxy, and trying to figure out where they are, and this is why this has been so difficult. But that's my theory. I felt like I read someone talking about that, but I'm not sure if they were just making their scientific educated guess or if it's based off of information that was actually released.
Yeah, I think M87 is massive in mass, but also I think just the sheer size of it, but of course it's extremely far away, so I'm not sure what of the. I think maybe just the amount of radiation it puts out just by its size, its age, maybe, I don't know, because I mean what you're looking at is a picture of what it looked like 50 million years ago or something, so it's obviously not like a current vision, a current picture of what it looks like, but I mean that's true of any space picture we get of anything beyond our solar system. What we're looking at is not what it looks like now. It's what it looked like X number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not entirely sure. I guess maybe they chose to go with this one because this was the first images they could compile, because mm-hmm. the amount of computing power needed to do it. And it's really, they said, you know, as they said in the press conference, It confirms, it supports a lot of Einstein's theories and a lot of the theories around black holes and around theoretical physics and radio astronomy. It's supportive of our current view of how the universe works and how things work on a very large scale. And I mean, it's a reminder that a lot of what we know about the universe, or a lot of what we're taught, are theories. They're not tests, you know, they're established by mathematics and by equations, and you know, we haven't been able to actually test a lot of this stuff, obviously. And I think maybe we kind of forget that because in conversations online and also in person, people state theories as if, no, that's how it works. Like, no, that's just the current accepted theory, and that's what, you know, that's what you're going to teach to kids. Obviously, you know, you're not going to teach them nothing. Mm-hmm. But I think we sometimes, and I think,
oh yes, we will.
The universe was created by God, like the Family Guy sketch.
Yeah, just that long ass odd.
So science is obvious. It's a process. It's not like it's providing instant black and white answers right away. The answers can change, and that's kind of what makes it different than the Bible. Science does change when new evidence comes forth. And this is a case where a lot of new evidence came forth, and it supports what our current understanding is. And that's exciting to know that, you know, the universe actually does the math, that the universe kind of is like built on mathematics, equations, on all this stuff that we've been mastering over the last century or so. And, you know, it's supportive in the fact that, you know, nuclear weapons work the way they do, computers work the way they do, all because of these theories and and the science that we've built on. So it's kind of a nice affirmation that the universe does, and everything of all things seem to still work the way we currently think they work. And mm-hmm. it's nice to know, like, we didn't get thrown another curveball, or, you know, as you and I were joking, you know, there might have been a picture of, like, you know, something strange in the picture, like maybe, you know, a man sitting on a throne of gold or something. Or, you know, like, wait, is that God? What the fuck?
No. I mean, just a bunch of atheist scientists being like, well, you know, we can't bring this back.
No, no. We'll just say it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, and then shout out to Katie Bauman. You know, the hotshot 29-year-old lone genius scientist who helped come up with the main algorithms to process this image and was one of the big people behind it. Nobody's ever alone in these ventures, so it wasn't all her, but definitely one of the, you know, just an amazing person that was a part of all this. So moving on from that, props to her, and just the whole project is just mind-blowing, and it just opens up so much stuff. And I like to see really big science news like this that I thought was cool, that I thought was small news. All of a sudden, everybody's talking about it. It's this huge thing. Obviously, it is to me. But, I mean, sometimes people in society need to be reminded how important these huge projects are, and they just kind of happen underneath our nose. And it's good to see a reaction that, you know, society caring, because these are a lot of the things we should really be putting most of our funding towards, and we don't. And unfortunately, the only way that we do is when stuff goes viral and stuff's a big story and stuff gets a lot of publicity and a lot of press, and then all of a sudden we care about it. So when these stories get that, I just feel good for science all around, you know?
Yeah, I love it, and I love learning more about, and also just to get a confirmation that this was one of the artist depictions of what a black hole could look like. It's pretty close to what some of the most recent kind of guesses were, and Christopher Nolan in Interstellar was a little bit off. If you watch the movie and his version of, and his kind of like, he also based his rendering of a black hole, like based on, you know, scientific input. So there's a few different ideas of what this might come out as. And, you know, it's obviously the black hole itself is obviously black, sucks in all light, but there is a disk of superheated mass all around it that doesn't, and it doesn't just fall in, it orbits it. So that shit, you know, has probably been flying around that black hole for a while. It doesn't all just get, you know, everything that's been pulled into the black hole is already in the literal black hole. It's already gone. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean there's an event horizon, hence the name of the project, and there's going to be shit outside that event horizon. So that was that orange disc, and it's and if you zoom out, and by the way, maybe you've already seen it, the picture of when they zoom out from the black hole itself to all the orange kind of craziness going on around it. It's really fucking cool.
yeah, that whole thing is insane. So what do you mean about Christopher Nolan's not being accurate? Because he had that extra weird Saturn ring around it?
Yeah, he had a horizontal, and also like the whiteness of it was, you know, narrower, and obviously it was like more of a compact structure. And I think at least the black hole, this one black hole, I should probably take a step back. This black hole does not resemble that. Maybe there are ones out there that are more like Nolan's depiction of a more compact.
Walk that back a little. Seriously, come on.
Well, I just did. All right.
You're talking about a fucking Nolan, brother. No, I just figured I'd pull up the images and stuff, and I was like, I mean, what if it wasn't black? What if they got the image of it and stuff like that? They're like, oh, no, the surface is gray or it's white. Oh, no, you can see the whole thing. And I know we would have probably already noticed them or seen them already and stuff. And then, you know, so it's obvious that they were black and stuff. But I don't know. I was thinking, like, his still looked like a black hole with a ring of debris around it. And at least we got to see that ring of debris. We get to see the event horizon, which was still another, like, kind of theoretical thing, whether they had an event horizon or not, or whether it just like looked like a lot of empty space and then in some like smaller part of the empty space it is. Because who even knows if it sits in that black area? What if it's an even smaller point of that? And there's more black empty space. It's just where light's not escaping.
I wonder.
So cool.
What if it came back and it looked like a disco ball? I mean, like, it could have been anything. We didn't know. Like, no one's ever seen one. This is the first time. Like, we had a good idea. But, yeah, you're right. It comes back, and it's, you know, it looks like it's made of ice cream. You know, like, chunks of chocolate in it. It's like, what the like a scoop of Rocky Road, you know? Like, we don't know.
Yeah, so this is awesome. I can't wait till there's more. It's going to get clearer and clearer and clearer. This is new technology, and then there are probably going to be a lot more radio telescopes that are going to coordinate with each other to try and do these types of projects. Now that we know it's possible, now we know what it takes. And as more radio telescopes are coordinating to do this for longer periods of time, better algorithms come out, just the way that science progresses, I mean – think about it. We see our first black hole now. We saw our first exoplanet. Was it in 1996 or 92? I forget. Mid-90s, we confirmed our first exoplanet, and now there's just like thousands and thousands and thousands, and we weren't even sure they existed. It made sense that stars probably had planets, but there was no proof of it freaking in the beginning of the 90s.
Yep. I'm hoping for kind of a renewed interest in space travel. And I already know, I mean, obviously there's still SpaceX and Falcon and these other programs that are making tremendous strides in, you know, private sector space travel and ideas for colonizing Mars.
Have you heard of the Space Force? That's going to fix everything.
Oh, Space Force. Yeah.
Yeah, Space Force.
Yeah, which didn't get funded, but you know.
Yeah.
Can't imagine
Oh,
why.
But did we already talk about they're making that comedy show?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Sorry. Anybody who hasn't heard it, there's going to be a comedy show. Is it Steve Carell?
I think yes, it is.
If you haven't heard the other one, Space Force with Steve Carell is going to be a real thing. going to be a real TV show. So check it out.
It's going to be great. Well, it doesn't. There's you know, the Mars. There's Elon Musk. There's people talking about maybe going back to the moon and other such things. And
How amazing is fucking SpaceX? I mean, let's go back on that. I know Tesla is kind of like the most amazing thing, but also the weirdest train wreck we've ever fucking seen happen. Like, it's so bizarre. Like, I'm on Team Tesla, but like, I don't know at what cost. it's amazing. But like, SpaceX, a similar thing, but like, the balls, man. This is actually taking stuff to the space station. This is the real future of space travel, is what this guy pulled off. If he really pulled off at least this version of the future of space travel, this step in it, and like the electric car thing, come the fuck on, man. This is unreal. Usually in this day and age, you can't like connect huge things like that to one person, but we got like a modern Thomas Edison in front of us. I don't know, fuck that. Nikola Tesla, some shit, I don't know. Leonardo da Vinci, just like Henry Ford type deal going on, but also like if Henry Ford invented the plane, I don't fucking know. Like, it's pretty crazy.
He named his company Tesla. Come on.
Yeah. Sorry. This is not a well thought out point that I'm trying to make here. But just how amazing is that shit? And we're seeing it all happen. And he fucking tweets.
and he smokes pot on podcasts.
With Joe Rogan. Who doesn't want to smoke a blunt with Joe Rogan on his podcast?
I don't know. If you don't, you're a fascist. But yeah, it's great stuff. I hope it continues. I hope we don't get it doesn't need to be NASA, but it would be nice to see like a priority made out of, you know, instead of relying on one or two private companies to finish the job, like a little bit more international efforts, not just NASA, and maybe just making it a thing again. Like, no one, you know, we don't think about going to the moon because we made it there already, and we, you know, just there's not a lot of interest in going back. The shuttles have been retired, and there seems to be no discussion of building any new spacecraft of any kind. And I think there is actually some genuine interest in doing it, but like the political will is not there because we're distracted by a number of other things that are far less worthy of our attention. But I think there's a good chance for that to change. You know, that's just how it is now in 2019. And I think this particular event. And, you know, if SpaceX and some of these other companies start making more strides, I mean, especially if this Mars thing gets closer to reality, this idea of actually reaching Mars by 20, somewhere in the 2030s is what they're shooting for. And then I know China wants to be there by 2040 or I don't know. I think they probably change their target every so often. So I mean, it's going to be in our lifetime. I'm convinced of that. I'm willing to put money on that somebody's a man or woman or dog is going to step foot on Mars in our lifetimes. You heard it here.
Oh my God, it would be really bad if it was a dog, but also really fucking awesome. I know it's not going to happen that way unless for some reason, like, I don't know, Russia or China or India gets to Mars first. Maybe they won't care as much. I don't think we would do that. That's like 50s, 60s, you know, USA shit.
Well, I mean, it could be a cat, but You know, come on.
It's not going to be man's best friend.
You do not. Sure. I'm just thinking, like, you're gonna have to travel for, like, you know, almost a year to get there with a cat in a small spacecraft. That's not going to go well. That cat's going to start breaking shit. So, zero G cat. That's, yeah.
I was more thinking about before they sent humans, sending animals, which I don't think they would do today. That's what they used to do back in the day. Like, the first, like, you know, Earth life form to set on the foot of the planet would be a dog. Like, that would be awesome. That was my point. That's what I thought you meant.
Mine was
more ridiculous. Sorry, I'm a child.
I did not think any of it through when I said dog. I just
I immediately had a whole thing. He was in this awesome spacesuit. He went down not really understanding what he's a part of.
You know what?
7 hours later from when he does it, the entire planet erupts and it's like chanting his name forever.
I was thinking they just open up the door from the spacecraft and then throw the dog out first to make sure it's safe.
Like, he's been locked up in here for this long and no one's even going to walk him. You're just going to kick him out.
Well, the first thing he's going to do is, well, he's going to go pee on something, of course. You know, he's going to mark his territory. So, I mean, I wonder what the maritime laws are on that, if that makes the territory his. Or hers.
So yeah, Mars. Mars soon enough. I mean, I don't know how the hell we're going to get over the fact that the interstellar radiation is just going to – the cosmic radiation is just going to fuck people up. We don't have a really good answer for that. It's like we're not talking about it. Same thing with self-driving cars and who do they kill? You or the road, the person on the road. It's like this big thing we're not talking about. Like, oh, we're going to have these big things in the future. Like, yeah, but what about the super deadly weird part? No. We'll have it figured out.
Don't worry.
I'm projecting. Us has got a perfect scenario.
Exactly.
We got a plan.
Future Elon Musk will figure that out. We're okay. Yeah. But by the way, like this, the TV show that really shows like a lot of this like near future stuff, I just binged watch to catch up is The Expanse, which is going to be the new season is going to be on Amazon Prime. It's basically everything you want out of a science fiction show.
All right, pitch it to me. What's it about?
It begins with a missing person out in the outer belt or the asteroid belt beyond Mars. And at this point in the future, we are on Mars, we're on Earth, we're on Luna, we're on the Outer Belt, and there are three like factions that exist: Earth, Mars, and the Belters. And something happens to this wealthy tycoon's daughter, goes missing, and it turns out she was involved in something that leads straight back to his company because she hated Daddy and wanted to rebel, and she actually discovered something he was doing that was despicable. And It involves a little bit of political intrigue, but a lot of it is just space opera action, and a lot of it is just discovering all these unique new settings like Eros, Io, Mars. You know what Earth is like in the year 2264, and it's just it's space travel, but it's space travel the way it is with zero G with. You know what it's like to travel in space with acceleration. You know, and how we would deal with all the G force and the radiation and some of the things you were talking about. Yeah,
that's fucking dope. That's all in there.
It's all in.
So it's like a science nerd / engineers nerd sci fi space opera. Everyone keeps on saying in this stuff, well, that's not important or whatever, or it's Hollywood or it doesn't matter. Or you're asking too many questions. Like, no, I want to know.
It covers everything. Now, they don't have the full-on budget to do zero-G the way, you know, it probably is, so they take some liberties with that. Yeah. But, I mean, they do acknowledge the fact that most of these places have less gravity than Earth or no gravity at all, and some of the challenges of combat in zero-G. And there's also, I mean, there's no phasers. There's no, like, fanciful weapons. There is kind of a fanciful propulsion system, but it's not, you know, faster than light. So it's a... All this stuff is kind of within reach.
Tell me about it. What is it? Do I have to watch the show?
You're
going
to have to. Yeah, you're going to have to watch the show.
Fuck.
So it's fantastic shit. It's got damn good writing. It's based on a set of science fiction novels that I read the first novel. It actually was pretty average, but everyone tells me the novels get a lot better, and that's why they inevitably turned it into a TV show with a pretty, you know, a pretty good cast. Thomas Jane, and I always slaughter her name, but I can, you know who she is. She was in Star Trek, the last Star Trek movie with Chris Pine. She has a voice like she's been smoking cigarettes since she was four. And let me get her name.
Oh, dude.
Star Trek Beyond. That was the name of the movie. Now, what is her name? Motherfucker. IMDb, you let me down. That's just some... Alright. Shori Agdashloo. So Shoreh is her first name. So I think that's Shoreh Agdashloo, I think is how it's pronounced. And she is...
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, her voice.
Yeah.
Dude, her voice is so epic. The first time she was in something, she like gave like some character an eerie phone call and knew something about their life. And she was like, I don't know, you're like, you're going to die in 3 days. I don't know what it was. I forget. It was this show Flash Forward. I don't know. It wasn't about that. Like, the whole world, like, fainted and blacked out for, like, a minute or two, the entire freaking world, except for a couple people were caught on, like, closed caption camera that weren't asleep during the blackout. Like, stadiums, everyone, the entire world, planes fell out of the sky, millions died out of, like, malfunctioning stuff of it happening, and they can't explain why, but everyone had, like, a flash forward of, like, a couple years in the future of, like, just a few minutes, and everyone had a vision. And then she is on the other side of the world and calls the main character, and she's all like, in my vision, I saw you. And that freaking voice. Oh, she's too epic, man. I don't know where they found her, but...
She's Iranian, so...
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm assuming she came here, let's see, just before the revolution, it looks like. So 1977 or 75 or something like that. So,
great timing. Great timing.
Yeah, it's a smart family. But anyway, she's fantastic in it. There's also a number of younger actors and actresses that I think are fantastic. The show, unfortunately, because Sci-Fi Channel, it does a shit job in promoting itself because... It has yet to get over the fact that it is the birthplace of Sharknado. And I think that they're trying to move on from that image, but I don't think they really try that hard to convince anyone. So it's they don't spend a lot of money on marketing. And so the ratings for Expanse are not that good. They started to get better in season three. I mean, they just have, there's just, you watch the show, you're going to recognize
wise,
a lot,
man,
of people.
It's the wise. No one can take them seriously with the wise.
Oh, you mean SYFY?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, you know, if that's it, I mean, I'm sure a focus group could have figured that out. Yeah, see.
That's it. Just change it back. I mean, if it ever was back, I don't know. But yeah, so she's in The Expanse too?
She's in The Expanse, Thomas Jane, Dominique Tipper, there is, and a bunch of these other names. If I spit them all out, you're not going to recognize any of them because I don't think they've moved on to bigger projects yet.
I'm just going to start scrolling through IMDb. I'm kind of pumped about this. I keep on watching like these top 10 lists of like different like space science things, and one of them was like top 10 propulsion systems that we might actually come up with in the next 100 years. I think it might be a good list to go through sometime. I'll send you like the link for it. But I just liked it's just immediately interesting to me because the second we have something that's just, you know, marginally better than what we have right now, all this other stuff opens up. We think of how like close space is and or how far away things are and how long it takes to get places. And we just need to see a big jump in propulsion. And I still always click on that when it comes to looking into space news. I'm like, oh, new space propulsion. I just can't wait for like some technology that's big that like they say like this is going to be in our lifetime. They're working on this in like 10 to 20 years or something like, and it's just not there. It's just so much theoretical stuff. And I don't feel like there's serious new fast space propulsion that they're working on. But apparently there's stuff that could still be done in the next 100 years, and I'm super, super excited for that because just like with anything else, then all of a sudden the solar system gets a little bit smaller, You know, like everything just gets a little bit smaller, and that would just be really cool. And then we could start talking about the concept of visiting exoplanets in a project's lifetime, which is insanely exciting.
Well, there's, if you watch the show, you see they use a lot of like the knowledge of what the potential is of our own solar system. And that's what they focus on. So there's nothing there's one tiny interstellar element to it, but most of it is all about Earth, Mars, Venus, and
that's fantastic.
The belt.
That's realistic. Like, because so many sci-fis, they'll jump the gun, you know, for some reason, just for a plot reason, because the writers wanted to, and none of like the, you know, engineers or science writers are like brought in. It's like, oh, you want to take the plot in that direction?
Okay. And Belter.
Wait, what do you need? What do you need me here for then?
and Belters. The Belters have it's just an awesome accent. This is fantastic.
I'm guessing the asteroid belters, the people that live all weird in the rocky area and not on a real round one.
Yeah, they don't. Well, yeah, they're rotating to generate gravity, some gravity. But yeah, they're not planet. They're just basic like giant. Like Eros is a giant asteroid.
Is that real? Could we really do some sort of gravity by doing the rotation thing? Like, if we figured that out, or is that just something that we bullshit?
What, like spinning something to generate gravity?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, what's it, centripetal force? Yeah, that works.
I know, but like what type of spinning could we actually, like how fast would it have to spin? How big would it have to be? Like is any of it really plausible, like to have any noticeable effect? Like what if we got to be spinning insanely fast? They always show it's like, oh, nice slow turn, and then that gives you gravity. Like I feel like it's going to have to be a fucking centrifuge or some shit.
In the show and like in the book, they're not trying to generate 1G. They're just trying to generate something that allows people to operate and move around and get the work done and things like that. So there's probably like 0.4, 0.5. So to do that, you need to be a certain size and you start spinning. And once you start spinning something in space, it's going. You don't need to keep adding energy to it. It'll keep spinning at that pace for a while. So one of the big ships in the show, it has 0G. And one of the first things they try to get it going is start spinning it. And what the cool thing is about these ships is that once it starts spinning, you're standing on the outside looking inward. Like as you're walking, if you look up, you're going to see the very middle of it, which is usually empty. And so like it's this weird thing that if you're looking at a ship from the outside as you're approaching it, everyone inside the ship, you're looking at their feet. So if you could see through like the skin of it, you're looking down, you're looking up their skirts basically as you're approaching the craft, because their bodies are all facing inward in order to take advantage of that spin. But so like they say, like they're not, like none of them are earthers. They don't want 1G. They just want enough so they can get, they can, you know, function and like move around and not have to. And also 0G has some negative long-term effects. And you see some of it in the show. They'll show you some of the weird shit it does to your body being in space so long.
Oh, God damn it. We got to move on. I'm going to start watching this show. You're absolutely right. I don't know why I didn't hear all this stuff, but I'm super going to nerd out and start watching this soon.
Yes. Well,
All right, so we got some other news, right? Game of Thrones started. You're going to bring that up. We got a new Star Wars trailer, which was just like, I don't know, it kind of makes me want to cry almost. Like, how is Disney, like, I know they're not doing it perfectly, but in some ways they're doing it so right.
a lot of shit happened in, like, 1 week. Like, we went from, like, kind of actually having to work, you know, work for finding topics or finding things to watch and go over to having, like, five things happen in 2 weeks.
And seriously.
Game of Thrones, which had 17 million viewers Sunday night, which broke all HBO's records. Shattered them.
It's beaten fucking Soprano numbers. I mean, I'm sure a lot of their shows have shattered Soprano numbers, but still.
It was about an hour. It was only an hour. I thought the episodes were supposed to be longer for the season because there's only 7 episodes, I think, of the final season of Game of Thrones, a show that's been going on for 7+ years, and it has captured the imagination of tens of millions of people. I still laugh at the fact that a lot of mothers were naming their daughters Khaleesi, which in the show is not a name. It's a title for a concubine.
Okay, yeah. You've mentioned that before. That's hilarious.
It's hysterical.
Just wait till you get introduced to somebody's child that's named that.
she has like the what blows me
no,
away.
No, no, I mean you in real life. In real life.
Well, I don't. I'm not waiting for it. I'm just gonna just like, oh, Khaleesi. That's you know. And I'm not gonna start telling them what Khaleesi means.
Oh,
I'm not gonna
no,
do
you
that.
Bet. Yeah, you don't.
I'm just gonna lose a lot of respect for them right then and there. That's all.
But then you're gonna have this thing in common. But yeah. You guys both like Game of Thrones, but also.
Well, the character's name is Daenerys, which is actually a pretty name, and it's spelled in a really funky way that a lot of people like spelling their kids' names in funky ways. I would figure Daenerys would be the way everyone would go, but no, they went with her title, Khaleesi, which is not even a flattering title. she's basically a concubine, or she was. But anyway, it's a fantastic show. It's extremely well written, and for most of the first half of its existence, the magic and fantasy elements were all very much in the background, and there's just a lot of human experience, a lot of character development, a lot of like medieval politics, and a lot of family drama, and just and all yeah, all sorts of violence and nudity, of course. And it's just so well done. I mean, George R. R. Martin is a combination of Tolkien, Shakespeare, and Quentin Tarantino. It's just a beautiful.
I like that list. I like that list.
Beautiful. Just it's America's version of Lord of the Rings. I don't even think that makes a whole lot of sense. But anyway, we're one show into that. You have not watched any of it. I think once the show is over,
I watched like two episodes with you years ago. So it might have been like the second or third season. I saw a couple episodes, realized I wanted to watch it all in order, and pretty much abstained ever since.
Yeah, so once we get a chance here, we're just going to watch you, me, and Jesse. We're going to watch them together. I'll watch it once I see the finale. I'll watch it from the beginning all over again. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm totally game for that. So I'll watch them with you.
Just, well, and I haven't even seen the show, and like I'm scrolling over spoilers because it's now real. Like, I mean, it's been real news for a while, but like it's really dominating the news because this is the last season, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like super dominating the news, and it's like harder to like get myself away from it now because indirectly I'm knowing more and more about these characters as much as I'm trying to block myself away from it and start it as fresh as possible. It's definitely becoming difficult, but I'm sure there's enough going on that's not really going to make a huge difference. But it just, I mean, for anyone that is wanting to watch it that hasn't yet, there's still probably some stuff out there. You can't get away from this. It's everywhere. Like on the freaking streets out here, like the city puts up Winter is Coming, you know, like to remind you to get winter tires and stuff. Like, of course we saw it in Iceland. Winter's always coming and always there, and they shoot it out there. But like, yeah, like it's a big fucking deal. It is a global phenomenon. So that's odd. If you're watching it, you're watching it. And then you probably want to talk about it. We're not going to, cause I haven't seen it. So I'm sorry.
Yeah. Moving on. I basically, every time I sit down with somebody or when I was at a writing group the other night, I basically asked everyone, so did you watch Game of Thrones? Yes. Yes. No. Shit. All right. Guess we're talking about something else now.
Guess we're talking about something else.
We're not spoiling it. There's a very serious like Game of Thrones version of the bro code. You do not spoil it. Like unless somebody literally says they have not, well, even with people that have not seen any of it, like I have a few friends in North Carolina that never watched a single episode, and I looked at them, I'm like, yeah, I'm still thinking one day you will, so I'm not spoiling it.
Yeah, I feel like that still happens. That still happens. Nobody's like, do you want to watch it? Nobody asks that question. Or like, do you plan on watching it? Because that would happen sometimes with other shows. Nobody asks that with this show. They're just like, oh, well, then I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I think at a certain point, you know, like I'm just going to – you just get so upset. Like, all right, you know what? I'm kidnapping you. I'm going to lock you in my basement. I'm going to give you a big screen TV, bunch of food, drinks, and a bucket to piss in, and you're going to watch all of it in 4 days. Or I think, how many hours is it?
No, you remind me of the World of Warcraft episode of South Park where they all get together to defeat the guy in the game that keeps killing everyone, and Butters is there. And then Butters is all like, I thought we were going to play Hello Kitty Island Adventure. Or some shit like that. I don't know. And then Cartman just gets really pissed off, and he's like looks down and has his eyes closed like, Butters, go out and download the game that is the sensation, the worldwide sensation, before we all kill you.
All right, moving on to
Yeah. Moving on. Sorry. I should quote Cartman a lot better than that. That was really not good. I'm sorry. I shouldn't.
Yeah, South Park is basically gospel. I think we're upsetting. Yeah. We're upsetting people.
Yeah, I probably destroyed that quote and made it unfunny.
All right. Well, to something you have seen, the Star Wars trailer for The Rise of Skywalker, a title that makes no sense, but at least for now.
Yeah, seriously, what the hell is that supposed to mean? Does it mean Luke? Is she supposed to be a Skywalker? Is there going to be another Skywalker? I mean, are all the Jedi, like, I know they're not really going to die. I don't know. It does raise lots of questions. I definitely want to see it. And I don't know, man. That thing gave me chills. It gave me the feels.
It is. It's exciting. The fan theories and analysis. I did watch this trailer. I know we talked like an episode or two ago about skipping trailers. But I usually watch the first one. I mean, I can't avoid it. I can't help it. But like the closer we get to release time, they start doing trailers number 2, 3, and 4. Those are the ones that I will skip. I don't need that. But this first one, yeah, I can't look away. But this one, I think, had, yeah, the busted remains of the Death Star. It had the cackle of the Emperor. It had, you know, obviously the name Rise of Skywalker when all the Skywalkers are supposed to be dead. It's all sorts of shit, you know? And then, of course, everyone is dying for Rey to be someone's child. And it's just, and the theories about the Emperor still being alive, even though he fell down a chute. Of like thousands of feet, it looked like into it. So it's great stuff. It gives everyone shit to talk about because we're trying. Like so many are desperate to interpret what they're looking at and to see what they want to see and hope they see it in the next movie and then inevitably probably be disappointed. And it's that's why I watched this one and I am not going to analyze it too much and I am going to avoid the rest. But I will say that this is exciting. It was an awesome trailer. There's a lot of shit in there I'm looking forward to. You know, the cackle of the Emperor was definitely a nice touch. And, my expectations are pretty damn high. And I will definitely be there day one.
Yeah. I'm totally there, too. I can't wait. It got me all over again. And it's weird, like, with the Solo thing, because I feel like even with fans that really like Star Wars, not as many would knock it or complain about it as ended up doing it, and it really like turned me off to wanting to see it. But then again, I really like where they're going with this whole thing, so just give me the next fucking episode. Do we know where this happens chronologically? Do we know anything about this? Because I'm almost going to go into a blackout. That trailer is maybe as much as I care to see, and I'm going to try and black myself out from most of it, but I need to know a little, I guess.
Well, it seems like it could be. Well, the movies can jump a few years sometimes, or sometimes they only jump, you know, moments. Episodes 7 and 8 only jumped maybe a few minutes between the end of the last one, the end of 7, and the beginning of 8. I think this one is going to be more of a jump, maybe a couple years, something like that, from episode 8. And so that's where it would be. I'm guessing that's where it may be in the timeline. It might be even further, or it might be just, you know, a few weeks after they escaped from that red and silver planet and where all that shit happened. I can't remember the name of that planet, but in any event, like, that's where it is in the timeline, and I don't think any other movies or properties that Disney is going to put out this year are anywhere near it. So I think this is the storyline. The only thing, the only hints and the only ideas we know about the storyline are what we're getting from episode 8, Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am right now. People keep talking on the internet. I've noticed a lot of people keep invoking the books, and Disney has said it straight out that they don't consider the books canon. They don't use them. They might use ideas from them, but they're not going to use them to build their movies. They've said that. And I think it's pretty obvious from the 7 and 8 that they don't. So I don't know. I think there's still people holding on to their favorite shit from the 90s.
Well, because they spent all that time reading it and fantasizing what it'd be like on screen, so they have to talk about it.
It's dead. Disney killed it. It's dead. Move on.
Yeah. But yeah, just when I was thinking Disney was going to start killing Star Wars, then I'm also reading that they're going to try and not start releasing multiple movies a year anymore. like somebody got the memo at Disney that they need to like protect this and not oversaturate it so it could be a cash cow for decades to come. I don't know. I didn't read into it fully. But I think that'd be fantastic to think about because I don't want to get burnt out of it. I really don't. I'd like to still get excited about it. I'm feeling the superhero burnout. I'm not 100% there yet because Infinity Wars was so freaking amazing. I thought I was burnt out on superheroes. Then you saw Infinity Wars and you're like, holy shit, I'm not. And then Endgame, I haven't been as excited for a Marvel movie since probably Iron Man 2. Or maybe even the first Iron Man. The first preview for the first Iron Man got me fucking so giddy. Holy shit. And it had Ozzy Osbourne's I Am Iron Man.
heavy breathing.
Oh my God. Yeah. So, like, I'm, like, at those levels right now.
I love that internet meme of the cat and then in the subtitle, heavy breathing. And it's a fat, like, fluffy cat. And it has this excited look on its face. I've seen it used all the time to kind of like, but you know, demonstrate just overexcitement about something. Mm-hmm. And that's, yeah, in terms of the Marvel movies, I don't think Infinity Wars I was psyched about. And it delivered for me. I am really, really psyched about Endgame. Iron Man was definitely, I did not think I was going to love Iron Man when I first watched it. Because Iron Man is not one of my favorite superheroes. I loved Iron Man. And then like the sequel was like awesome, but like also like, eh. First one was a little better, and then the third one was kind of just, you know, jumping the shark a little bit. So
yeah, I mean, they're trying to outdo themselves, and honestly, you don't have to. They're trying to up the technology for the suit. It's not necessary. The suit's awesome. Why don't you just take the amazing suit we love and have it do more cool shit? We're not just, like, bored of that suit, and you need to, like, reinvent the suit every time. Unnecessary. I'm sorry, yep. Guys. Unless it's a natural progression of the technology and all the comic books and it goes along with shit, it's unnecessary for me.
Yeah. There's also just and that's just for Iron Man, but some of the other things that have happened in the movies where they keep one-upping themselves in some of the individual, like, hero trilogies or movies. Guardians of the Galaxy, the second one, just a total light show. I mean, I was numb. I mean, it's funny, and I love the characters, but the light show, you know, at the end of it, the light show, I was like, this is just, I'm basically going in, I'm either about to have a seizure or I'm like yawning. Like, it wears you out.
I'm going to be honest about those movies. I like them, but I did fall asleep to both of them towards the end.
They do,
I'm not like turning into an old man that falls asleep at the end of movies all the time. It does happen more often than it used to, but still. It really was like I got desensitized to it, and yeah, it would like yawn. I just couldn't – it just pulled all the excitement out of it. Like I knew they were going to get out of it. Like I just knew it. So all of this over-the-top light stuff – just like where there was no excitement. It was just like, so when is all of this going to be over and we'll actually see the next part of the plot move forward? That's how like boring it was. And I feel like you need really good contrast. And to kind of circle back, I think that's what's been really good about these Star Wars movies is George Lucas in doing episode 1, 2, and 3 was starting to get over the top with CG. But of course, Lucas Studios push forward technology so amazingly, it's hard to completely knock them. And they've always been a part of like the cutting edge of special effects technology. So it's awesome in a lot of ways, but the camera angles and everything just took a lot of excitement out of it. And then the way that Disney started to do it and almost started to get this gritty feel like you were there that Star Wars had lost. And I really liked that portion of it. And this most recent trailer is a great example of it.
Yeah, perfectly. And to the thing you mentioned that they're slowing down, they're worried about oversaturation. I think that's definitely that's not the lesson you get from Marvel, because Marvel does 2 to 3 movies a year now, and they make a shit ton of money. So they probably
so much material and so many characters for so many demographics and age groups. Or I mean, I guess not so many, but still, you know, for people's different types of superhero tastes, essentially. And so that's one thing. And
So does Star Wars.
They were trying, but I don't know.
they have a lot of untapped storylines and several video games that they want to use as the premises of movies. Star Wars has plenty of space and time to work with. Okay. Marvel can go for another 10 or 20 years if they want to. Star Wars probably doesn't have that kind of length, but Star Wars could, you know, that franchise could produce two movies a year for another 5 to 7 years easy with the amount of material they have. Because there's so much of the timeline that hasn't been touched. And even though they're not going to use the books as canon, they can draw ideas from the books the same way that Marvel Studios has been drawing ideas from the comic books. They never follow them one-to-one, but they draw a lot of their big ideas from it. And they could, Star Wars could totally do that if they wanted to. But I think Solo, the fact that Solo underperformed to their expectations, and the fact that the end, like the way it was, they had to reshoot so much of it. The lead character needed to take acting classes. I mean, all sorts of shit went wrong. That I think, what's her name? Kathleen Kennedy, whoever the head of this, I think, is the head of this. She put the pause on all Star Wars projects until they did kind of an autopsy on Solo to see what went wrong. And I think that's one of the conclusions they realized, that they can't, the Star Wars, they have to be a little more careful because they don't quite have it down yet. And the risk of oversaturation and the risk of trying to push these things out the door too fast, I think scared them. And I think I think they're making the right call by doing this one at a time and doing it right.
Yeah. I mean, they might get excited again. There might be like some sort of new management or someone else that just sees dollar signs once it gets kind of revived again, and they make the same mistake or a different version of it. I'm really giving them a lot of props for taking a step back, at least now. So, because that's hard to actually get done, especially for a company as huge as Disney. But they also do have a lot of really good people there. So,
I think the lesson from Solo, because I think a lot of people, even before Solo came out, I guess the lesson from that is the thing that we all love about Han Solo is Harrison Ford.
Yeah. you're absolutely right. And they kept on showing that video of some person that looks like a young Harrison Ford that's like an internet sensation that like does perfect impressions. But it's like, they never pick people that do perfect impressions. They always want like a new kind of look to go along with it, but they never pick as perfect as people as you'd want, except for when Patrick Stewart was Professor Xavier.
Yes.
And it was really smart for them to cast Hugh Jackman. I don't know if they knew he was going to be as timeless as he was. Like, he could play Wolverine for the next 30 years. Like, that was just good. That just worked out really well for the immortal character.
I don't know if you think about it, their casting choices in the very first X-Men movie. The casting choices were great, but it's just like the writing and the technology wasn't there yet to make the great X-Men movie yet. And I mean, James Marsden is Cyclops, Halle Berry is Storm. Rogue? Who plays Rogue? God, I know her. She's True Blood and all those movies.
I don't know, but I always thought Rogue was like an older character, and then they made her. Then I don't know, but they kind of changed that and made her more of a teen. That was a new part of it, and so like that was a little annoying.
Yeah, true.
But I mean, that was just an early nerd me. Now I look back, I don't even think about it. But we just invoked like what I remember saying when the first one came out, and I haven't really thought about it that way since, just because that's been that new version of X-Men. But I do recall having that complaint.
Yes, and of course Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, and so like so maybe on that one, Rogue is not supposed to be the teenager for sure. But across the other board, and also, I mean, she went on to bigger and better things after those movies. After, I think she's in two of them or three of them. Mm-hmm. And so, like, they actually did an outstanding casting job. And I guess, I bet you they're like, we'll see. This is going to be the X-Men cast we're going to use. But then after a couple movies, they're like, why don't we just make a movie with Hugh Jackman in it as Wolverine? No, we can just drop the rest of these people.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my god, though. But Logan, man, I don't know if I could watch it again. Like, I really want to watch it again, but I don't know if I can. It's like Of Mice and Men or something, you know? Like, it's just too hard. It's like a really great movie, but it's just too hard.
Johnny Cash as the soundtrack and shit.
Oh my god! Like maybe I need to see another if they make another X-Men movie with like those kids being the new mutants and stuff and the new version of it. I don't know if they plan on like going on that timeline and stuff, but if they do, maybe and I like that movie, maybe I could go back and watch it and just be like, yeah, well the kids go on and stuff, and it's glad that they sacrificed themselves. But without that movie, I don't think I could rewatch Logan. I need better closure than just the kids made it.
That's not good enough.
I just met those kids, all right?
I don't know you.
I need to see them in another movie where all of a sudden I get interested. It's like, yes, all right, Logan and Xavier's sacrifice for these amazing characters. Like, because I did start to fall in love with Logan's daughter and stuff. You know, she was just such an awesome hardcore character that they just went over the top with. Now, over the top implies that they made a mistake. They just did awesomely.
Yep. So, yeah, just a bunch of kids. I don't know you, and some of you aren't that cute. So I need a little bit more to this storyline.
Yeah. It's so... Oh, seriously.
We're at 1 hour. I think we touched on about everything. I think for next week, are we going to do one next week? Yeah, I'm still here. We can do one next week, and then we're going to be in Dayton, Ohio for Gem City Comic Con. And that is the end of our April. And then, of course, while we're in Dayton, we will go see Endgame. And definitely might have to have a 2-hour special on that shit.
Yeah, seriously, because we'll have a lot to cover. We'll want to cover the convention that we go to. Maybe we'll be able to post some pictures or images or something, obviously some links and stuff. Just some nerd credit, I guess, for us that we come from a good line of nerds. Our cousin Jesse Noble out in Dayton, Ohio, runs the biggest comic book convention in the region, Gem City. And we're going to be going out there and checking it out for the first time.
Yes, it's going to be and it's also a lot of artists, a lot of comic books, and there's a lot, definitely a big angle to it towards that direction. So it's a lot of artists and content creators and creative types. So it's definitely, I mean, from what he's told me and what I've seen a little bit of online, it's leaned a little bit more towards that. Of course, you'll probably, you know, I fully expect, you know, there very well could be plenty of cosplay and some of the other more commercial stuff of it. But just knowing our cousin and kind of knowing some of the style of this, you're definitely going to be getting into the you know, the more hardcore, the people that live this stuff and breathe this stuff night and day, not so much a tourist event.
Yeah, and, like video gamers that think that they are part of the culture even though they never read a comic book. I am only going to be there as an observer. I'm not even that deep in the culture. I don't know if I've read more than like a few comic books cover to cover my whole life. So
no.
I'm definitely going in as a spectator and as an outside observer. So, and then, but claiming just some nerd credit for it being my cousin.
This is field work. This is basically when scientists go into the jungle to observe something. And just don't know, you know, don't have a clue how shit works. They're just there to take notes. That's basically what we're doing.
pretty much. And I think it's going to be opening weekend for Endgame.
Yes. We'll be seeing.
So we'll be watching that with the family and stuff too. It's going to be a whole great nerd weekend all around. I don't know if it gets much better than that.
No.
I mean, you could say the real Comic-Con, but unless your cousin's running it, it doesn't get better than this.
No, and one day we will do the San Diego, the big one. One day. But that day is not this year. So
that day's not next weekend.
No, it's not next weekend, and I don't think it's on the calendar this year. So you can look forward to one. But yeah, that's definitely the plan, and dude, things liven up overall. Movie wise, TV wise, like event wise, like the first quarter sucked. The second quarter, where things are already starting to come alive, and I think we're just going to have a lot more shit to cover, and we're going to have a harder time, you know, covering all the ground we want to, and probably, you know, might have to put some stress on that promise that it's only 1 hour of your life that we steal.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, man. I'm scrolling through heavy breathing caffeine. I guess I've been off of social media for a couple of years, and then even if this is older than a couple of years, it just kind of like slipped past me, and I'm just catching up right now.
It's been around for a while.
Yeah, I bet. It looks familiar, but I'm just really just seeing all the different applications. I really like the Bane one. That's freaking awesome. And then, of course, there's a freaking Vader one that just has ears through a Vader helmet. That's fantastic. I don't know how long it took for that one to come out or where that fits in the spectrum. Obviously, just various things that, you know, I'm into as well. I don't think I could have a heavy breathing mouse pad. I don't think that would be good motivation at work or just at home or anywhere. But there's a lot of heavy breathing mouse pads. People are all about that.
I see.
It just goes on and on.
I see a Wilford Brimley heavy breathing one.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one right now, too. It's good. It's good. I really like it. The internet, man, it's just equal parts amazing and disgusting. I really want to say, like, equal parts. Same thing with technology in the future. Equal parts amazing and, like, terrifying. I really don't know. I'm not going to argue too hard in either direction. I'm just going to say equal parts. It's not a debate I'm up for.
That's fantastic. It's really a... I amuse myself at work sometimes or at home. Like, I'll start scrolling through 9gag, which has always includes a lot of these, like, most common memes. And some of them, yeah, some of them are just terrible. Like, equal, like you said, they're just basically misogynistic sex jokes, or they're dick jokes that have been around for decades and are just being updated with new pop culture references. But then some of them are really clever. Like, some of the Game of Thrones ones are great. I mean, if you watch the show and then you start tracking those and getting amused by those a lot more. So as soon as it tracks like a pop culture thing, like Game of Thrones or, you know, Star Wars or whatever, and all the jokes about, you know, in Last Jedi when they're dropping gravity bombs onto a ship in space and, like, some of the other dumb shit that happens in that space battle, which, yeah, I mean, we talked about in our review, like, way back when, that, yeah, that was, you know, kind of stupid, but it didn't really destroy the movie for us. And, like, and that's how I feel about Star Wars in general. Like, they point, because in the trailer, remember in the trailer, like, she's running from a TIE fighter, mm-hmm. and the TIE fighter doesn't fire. Apparently, the TIE fighter's trying to run her over, which doesn't make any fucking sense. And so somebody made an alternate version of the trailer where the TIE fighter just shoots her and kills her. And it says the end.
Yeah, that's about right. No, that TIE fighter wanted to see her spread across the windshield. Sorry. Yeah. They're just like, that'd be too easy. This is how I want to do it.
Yeah.
It's bragging rights. It's ego. Yeah.
Well, I do worry sometimes because, like, J.J. Abrams has done some movies that I think are awesome, and he's definitely done some things that I think are just extraordinarily stupid.
But he has ruined – yeah, he's ruined some things.
Yes, he has. But so sometimes I see shit like that, and I'm like, don't do Fast and Furious in space. Star Trek already tried that. Don't do that. Be Star Wars.